Rishus, Rav Twersky, Alex Ornstein, Avi Ornstein, Kahal Kadosh. Along with the very special tshuva opportunity of these days, these are also days in which we have a more clear sense of the fact that we're part of something greater. Our neshama is part of something greater. As individuals, we're part of something greater, of Am Yisrael, and in terms of time, we're part of a greater picture. We're not just limited to the here and the now. As Rav Judah Michel mentioned earlier in the week, to be a Jew means to live in context. Context. Realizing where we are, but we're part of something greater, the past, the present, and the future. We're starting off our year of learning here in Shalavim, in Tav Shin Ayin Hei. And at the same time, we realize that we are part of something bigger as well in this realm, connected to the larger, in this tzibur, the larger community of the Talmidim of Shalavim of the past. 26 years ago, Shalavim had the privilege of having a very special Talmud in the yeshiva, amongst the Talmidim, a superstar, a sharp, idealistic man of action who was taking in every single moment, every single opportunity, every single experience, every single learning experience and experience here in Israel, taking it into the maximum for the sake of going out afterwards and making an impact, making a difference. And then the tragedy, the heartbreaking tragedy when he returned to America, home to his family, 25 years ago, Mati was taken from us, taken from his family, taken from us, our Shalavim community, taken from the world. And at that time, in the ocean of tears, we mentioned this morning, in Slichos, turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asking to take our tears, Dimoseinu, Benotcha Liyo, take them and gather them together, realizing that there's something that the tears are meant to be used for. Alex, Sheyichya, Admea Ve'esrim Ve'briut, Nachat Ve'osher, together with his beloved wife, Dr. Vero, Aleha Shalom, decided to turn things around and use, with the help of Harav Dr. Twersky, assisting them along the process, using all of that pain, turning it around towards building and connecting again to Shalavim. And then afterwards, soon afterwards, Avi, Sheyeh, Bari, and his whole family should be blessed with tremendous bracha and atzlacha. Simcha Va'osha Admea Ve'esrim joined us here in the walls of Shalavim with one of our special Talmidim, and remained, Mishpachat Hornstein remained connected to the yeshiva, turning the pain and the tears into building blocks of the yeshiva. How appropriate it is now, during these days, going into Yom Kippur, as I said, a time of connecting to the bigger picture, a time where we shed our small-mindedness, connect with greatness, greatness of thought, greatness of spirit, that we connect to that spirit of the Hornstein family, of that spirit, that energy, that passion for excellence of Mati, connection to Am Yisrael in the biggest way possible, connected to Torah in the biggest way possible, connected to Eretz Yisrael in the biggest way possible, and use that now as a way of our reconnecting and rebuilding and preparation for our Yom Kippur. Tonight, at this time of connecting to that which is greater than us, we are very privileged to hear words of Torah and wisdom from one of the giants of our time and close friend of the Hornstein family. It's my great privilege to ask Harav Dr. Twersky to share Torah's wisdom with us.
The first order of business, can you hear me back there? Can you hear back there, everyone?
Is there an on switch? Anybody?
I saw the suspected that I didn't. There we go. Okay, how's that now? Better? Okay. I have the chutzpah to tell you that what I'm going to talk about to you tonight may be one of the most important things that you'll ever hear. And not because I'm so great, but because it's an item that is not given enough attention, and I was fortunate to come across some ideas that I think I can share with you. I like to write. I write a bunch of books. And I've written several books on the idea of the importance of self-awareness and self-esteem. And I was thrilled to find in Alei Shul that in our generation, Shlomo Alba came up with the same idea, and he has a whole section on Das Atzmo, to know oneself. The importance of this should be evident, because if a person does not have a correct perception of reality, right, one cannot make a good adjustment to reality. That should be obvious. You have to know what reality is in order to make a good adjustment. I'm going to tell the story. The guy came to a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist says, "What's your problem?" He says, "Well, I have a 44-room mansion, and it's located on 300 acres of beautiful countryside, and I have a housekeeper and a cook and a governess, and I have a chauffeur and a luxury automobile." And the doctor said to him, "But I asked you, what's your problem?" He says, "I'm about to get to that. I only make $150 a week." Yeah. I mean, if a guy's making $150 a week and thinks he can spend money like a multi-billionaire, he's going to get into trouble. The opposite is also true. If a person has abilities, if a person has kochot, if a person has talents, and is not aware of them, and sees himself in a negative light, thinks he is not bright, thinks he is not attractive, thinks he is not presentable, that's a distortion of reality. Right? And a distortion of reality can be in either direction. A person can have delusion to think himself that he's the greatest, and he can have a delusion to think himself that he's not good. Unfortunately, it's so common that people feel negatively about themselves, and they act as though the whole world knows that they're negative. Now, the reason that I'm so sensitive to it is that's where I came from. When I was 38 years old, I had already had my smicha when I was 21. I graduated medical school when I was 30. and I succeeded at everything that I did. But my attitude about myself was despicable. I had looked for approval from everyone in the world. But there are 6 billion people in the world. I had to have 6 billion people approve of me. I had to have everybody like me. Why? Because I did not think I was likable. And I used to do things to get approval from other people. Became a people pleaser. Because of my sensitivity about myself, I was so sensitive to criticism that if anybody looked at me in the wrong way, I was crushed. And I became aware of that. I wasn't aware of that until I was 38, when something happened that brought it to my attention. That what's wrong with why I feel myself this way? Now, if a person goes to a psychologist, and the psychologist finds out, here, this guy just has a terrible opinion of himself. Right? Such low self-esteem. The psychologist concludes, it's probably the result of the fact that his parents did not give him what he wanted, what he needed, they got given him enough praise, that there were some trauma in his life, there were some deprivations, and very often it's blamed on the parents. Yeah, the parents were not sensitive, they called him klutzy, can't you ever do anything right, the kind of thing that'll depress a kid's impression about himself. When I discovered that I was down on myself, I began to look for, where did this come from? It was not my parents' fault. My parents were wonderful people. I was my father's favorite. I succeeded in everything that I did. At age 10, I was a chess prodigy. And in spite of the fact that I succeeded in everything that I did, graduated high school at 16, I felt so negative about myself. And I couldn't figure out why. Then a couple of things helped me get some insight on it, which is what I want to share with you because it's important. Reb Simcha Zisel makes the interpretation of the Pasuk in Tehillim, Dochoy Dechitani Linpol. And Reb Simcha Zisel says, Docho is not a verb. It's a noun. It refers to a force within the individual that is a koach hadocha, a crushing force. And that is present in everyone, and in me and in you. That's part of our makeup, that we have a force that tries to crush us. 40 years later, after Reb Simcha Zisel wrote this, Sigmund Freud, one of the world's greatest psychologists, came across with a theory that in every individual there are two opposite instincts. There's the self-survival instinct, and there's a death instinct that tries to crush him. And Freud couldn't make any sense of it, because he didn't know where did it come from. He was a kofer. He did not believe that Hashem created the world, and that Hashem created us with a yetzer, which is a destructive force. And so he tried to deny it, but he couldn't. So he came up with this theory called Thanatos, which some psychologists rejected, but Freud believed very strongly in it, that in every individual there is a natural force that tries to crush him. And when I became aware of both the opinions of Freud and Lahavdil, I realized that's what happened with me. This Yetzer Hara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put within me, that's Yetzer Hara doesn't tell me to go and eat treif or to do things on Shabbos. That's not what it does. Yitzro shel Adam mitgaber alav v'chol yom u'mevakesh l'hamito. Gemara Kedushin. A person's Yetzer Hara grows stronger every day and tries to crush him. And tries to crush him by making him feel worthless. We got to defend against that. And so I've just started writing a book where I say, look, addressing psychologists, don't blame it all on the parents. A person may feel negatively about himself with the most wonderful parents in the world, because he has this force within himself, this Yetzer Hara that tries to destroy him, tries to crush him, tries to tell him, you can never succeed at anything, you're going to be a failure, don't try, you won't make it. And you got to be aware of that, because I had that force when I was a kid. I remember when I was 6 years old doing things to make people like me. But the Yetzer Hara doesn't stop when you're 6, and doesn't stop when you're 60, and doesn't stop when you're 85. As the Chavis Alvava says, Atol Yashen Vehu Or. You may be asleep, the Yetzer Hara is always awake. And he's always trying to mislead you. And trying to mislead you doesn't mean only that he tells us to do Isurim. Trying to mislead you means to give you a negative opinion about yourself so that you lose your courage in life. So you lose the excitement of life, so you lose the inspiration, and you lose the ambition. And if we can neutralize that force, then we can be the most productive and happy people in the world. What is the solution? Two things. First of all, whenever you feel negative about yourself, you got to know where that's coming from. I still have negative feelings about myself, but now I can defend against myself. I know where they're coming from. That's the Yetzer Hara trying to trick me up. I don't have to listen to him. I don't have to listen to him when he tells me to do or he sues him. I don't have to listen to him when he tries to crush me. Secondly, that Yetzer Hara is within us. The Ilmole HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro Lo Yuchano. And if Hashem would not help us, none of us could withstand the Yetzer Hara. It's only because we have Siyata Dishmaya. But we have to maximize the Siyata Dishmaya. So Rav Simcha Zichel says that's the other half of the pasuk. Docho dechitani limpol, this koyach hadocha that I have, this force that I have, that tries to make me, trip me up, make me fall. V'Hashem azoroni, Hashem is the one that helps me over it. And what we have to do is what we have to be mispalo for Siyata Dishmaya. Now there are things that we can do pretty well by ourselves, but you need Siyata Dishmaya for everything. But there are other things that we're totally dependent on Hashem. You know, the Chofetz Chaim used to come into the Beis Medrash at midnight and used to open up the Oren Kodesh and used to cry bitterly that Hashem should remove his feelings of anger. Nobody ever saw the Chofetz Chaim angry. He was in perfect control of his behavior. But he was not in control of his feelings. Feelings are something, you know, if somebody stabs you with a sharp instrument, you're going to feel pain. And if somebody harms you or offends you, you're going to feel anger. And he had no choice about that. But because he himself could not eliminate that, he turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he said, Rabbeinu Shalom, take it away from me. I don't like these feelings. And so what we have to know is that we have to ask for Siyata Dishmaya in dealing with the feelings of, the crushing feelings, where the Yetzer Hara tries to make us feel inadequate. And so what you do, you can do what the Chofetz Chaim does. You can come up into the Beis Medrash at midnight. That doesn't have to be just then. You can do it at the end of Shemon Esrei. Right? Once you've said, Yiv l'rotza nimri fi v'hegin libi l'fanecha, right? At that point you can add your own tefillahs. And you can use your tefillahs in whatever language you want. And it's important to do so. Because when we add our own tefillahs and we relate to Hashem, we say, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've given me these feelings for some reason. I need your help in overcoming them. I can't do it by myself. And build up your courage so that wherever you turn to in life, right, whether you're going to be in chinuch, whether you're going to be in professions, whether you're going to be a lawyer, an accountant, a doctor, whatever, an engineer, right, that you'll feel competent about yourself, you'll feel adequate, right, and you'll have the inspiration and the ambition to be able to succeed. And then when you get the momentum and you start, it just builds. And that's important in learning a Tosfos. How often do you come across the Tosfos and say, I can't understand it? And there's some Tosfos in Derech Torah that are difficult to understand. But you don't give up. Now, we're not in the position that some of the great tzaddikim were, where they say that the Rebbe Reb Zusha, when he didn't understand the Tosfos, he would take out the tilim and start to cry until the neshama from the Baal Tosfos came down from Gan Eden and told them what the perish was.
Okay, Rabbi Zusi could do that. I can't.
But we can. We are mispalel every day. And we can ask for Siyata Dishmaya in being able to. Why it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to work on Torah, and we got to be careful, because some of the amelis of Torah has been taken away from us now that we have so many things, right? We have shiurim on tape and shiurim on the online, right? And the wonderful Gemulas by Art School, some of the amelis has been taken away from us, but it's not enough to just to learn Torah. Right? It's the amelis and working at it, and not giving up, right? And not giving up, and being stubborn. I'm gonna get this Tosfos. I'm gonna get this halacha, and if I don't get it now, then I'll get it tomorrow. But I'm gonna get it. And to realize that you're capable. Right. And any time that you feel any kind of negative feelings, I can't do this, I can't do that. You know, what's very interesting, Reb Zusha, the one we mentioned about, said that he was once walking along the street and he was in a hurry to get someplace. And then somebody called him and said, "Hey you, come over here and help me load this wagon." So Reb Zusha said, "I can't." So the man said, "Don't tell me you can't, you don't want to." So Reb Zusha says, "I heard a voice from Hashemayim. Right. When I think I can't do something, it's probably because I don't want to." Right. And that if we will stimulate our will and believe in ourselves and have the courage to do and be mitzvah for Siyata Dishmaya, we'll succeed in everything we do. And so you'll succeed in Torah, and you'll succeed in Tefillah, and you'll succeed in your panos, and you'll succeed in your career. Right. But you got to be careful not to fall into the trap of listening to the negativity. When we say the parsha of Trumas Hadeshen, we say, "Eish tamid tuchad al mizbeach lo tichbe." So the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, says, "Lo tichbe." Yeah, we translate it, should not be extinguished. The Alter Rebbe says it has another meaning. Lo tichbe. Right? Extinguish the lo. Extinguish the negative. Eliminate the negative from your life. You know, it comes from Kippur. We may think, "Hey, if I'm going to go tshuva and think about the things that I did wrong, right, I'll start thinking badly about myself." No way! Tshuva is supposed to be b'simcha. Well, how can you be b'simcha when you're gilu b'irada? David HaMelech tells us. You can be trembling, but you have to do it b'simcha. And so, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, even though they remain Arayim, right? But the days that we can be b'simcha, realizing what a wonderful gift Yom Kippur is. One of the tzaddikim said, "I'm really not interested in Gan Eden because they don't have a Yom Kippur there. What kind of life is there without a Yom Kippur?" Imagine what Yom Kippur is. Take the case of a person who smoked cigarettes for 40 years and unfortunately developed serious lung disease. And he comes to a doctor and he says, "Boy, I'm sorry that I ever touched a cigarette. I wish it never would have happened. I'm so sorry that I smoked." The doctor says, "Yeah, so you're sorry. What can I do? Your lungs are diseased." But when he comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we say, "Muslim, I'm sorry I did the Aveiros. I'm sorry that he ever did it. I'll never do it again." And we do proper tshuva. Hashem takes it and makes it like it never happened. It's like the doctor taking this person with lung disease and giving him a fresh set of lungs. That's what we can do with the Simcha of Yom Kippur. And of course, then comes Simcha's Torah, then we have the manifest Simcha. But to always have Simcha in your life, lo tichba, eliminate the negative, be positive in everything that you do, and realize that any kind of negative thoughts that you have about yourself are the work of the Yetzer Hara, and we don't listen to them. The powerful force, but pushes us to fall. Vashem Azaroni, that help will help us overcome it, but we have to ask for Siyata Dishmaya. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you Siyata Dishmaya in everything that you do, in your Torah, in your secular studies, in your career, in your mishpocha, in your future, to be zoche to a gemar chasim batova, right?
and a very healthy and happy and productive year.
I'd like to ask Alex Hornstein to share a few words with us.
It is a very strange feeling to be standing here once again this year, 25 years after, and to be standing here without my wife, who was the inspiration. She was the inspiration for our lives, not just mine, but for Muti as well. Can you hear me? Okay, fine. That's fine. We look out on this room and we look at you and we see the future of the Jewish people, which is why we did what we did in terms of our tremendous devotion and support, and our lives became Shalvim. We were Mr. and Mrs. Shalvim because of the impact that Shalvim had on Moti during this year that he was here. It was an amazing, amazing transformation. He was special to begin with, very special to begin with, but his year here focused his life for him, and he came away with not just ambition and desire, but with specific goals as to what he wanted to accomplish in life for the advancement of Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, and Torah Yisrael. And we found stuff that he had written afterwards that he had committed himself, and his friends knew this, but we didn't. And so we thought, all right, if Shalvim can do this for Moti, then we need to do our part so that Shalvim can do this for 100, 500, 1,000, 10,000 more young men, that we had the opportunity to influence, give you the tools and the motivation to go out and change the world. So that is the satisfaction that we had standing here and looking at you. I want to quote a couple of short sentences, the memories of Moti by some special people in themselves. Dr. David Lando, who himself was a very special individual, he was nifted this past year. He was a director of Bell Labs. You all know what Bell Labs was, so this is a special individual. And he wrote, in Mesilat Yesharim, the author, Rav Moshe Chaim Lozado, teaches us that a person who possesses a fine mind, even if he's privileged to be a great scholar and a man of outstanding learning, should examine himself and should recognize that he is not entitled to arrogance or a sense of superiority. Lozado stresses that it is both the challenge and the mission of the intellectually superior to be humble. Moti, brilliant as he was, attained and retained this singular form of humility, and thus exhibited through his life one of the characteristics of true tzidkus. Eitan Morel, one of his classmates here, traveled after they finished the year here. They traveled Europe in the summer, among other characteristics, Eitan writes, "You, more than anyone else, could always be counted on to get the job done. And you did." That's one of the characteristics of success. It's just You got to do it. You actually got to get up and do it. It's not enough to think about it or to write about it or to plan on it. You got to get up and do it. And what he did, whatever it was, he did. And that was another characteristic that we had wished to impart. You got to do it. Hillel Parnes, another classmate, wrote, "Moti and I traveled through Europe together for close to a month after the year in Israel. I came to know Moti very well. There were always times, though, when he would do something which would take me completely by surprise and cause me to respect him even more. When we were touring Rome," I love this story, "when we were touring Rome, we came across a signature book which someone had intentionally left outside one of the museums with asking people to sign the book and write something. Writes Hillel, "I do not remember what I wrote. It could not have been much more profound than the other drivel that most people had written. But Moti took the book and began scribbling. After a few minutes, he let me read what he had written. He had transcribed the section of the Gemara which states that Yerushalayim and Rome can never both stand simultaneously. When one is built, the other must be in ruin. He then added a sentence that Rome is really looking shabby these days." Out of that, I just remember the work. Besides all that, he had a sense of humor surpassed every other dry, but sense of humor. He sent us a postcard from Rome. What postcard did he choose to send to mother and dad? It was the Pope blessing the people. So he wanted to send us a blessing. Terrific. I want to quote also a paragraph from a message that my wife wrote when we dedicated the Moti Hornstein Institute. "We are survivors, as individuals and as a nation. We have been tested, but through the testing we grow even stronger and we shout even louder, Ani Ma'amin. In God's world there are no accidents and no coincidences. There are only smaller miracles and greater miracles. We accept that Hashem created this universe and it is His domain." My wife believed. "However, when God created man, He left a portion of the creation for us to complete." Well, what does that really mean? "I believe that we are here to help Hashem weave a most beautiful and complex tapestry that He has in mind. It is a tapestry of such magnitude that we cannot see the whole picture in this physical world. But when we step back at the end of time, we will be able to fully appreciate its significance. When we are born, we are each given a particular piece of thread, and it is up to us, individually, to figure out how and where to place it. We must recognize our roles and our responsibilities in the completion of this plan. How do we rise to this task? The answer lies deep within each and every one of us, but we must dig deep to find it. We must absorb what we learn from the wisdom of our ancestors. We must see the world with open eyes, and we must introspect. We should never underestimate ourselves, for that leads to lack of growth. And we should never overestimate ourselves, for that leads to lack of perspective. It is only when we see ourselves in a true and natural light that we can accurately assess and utilize our God-given strengths and acknowledge and conquer our weaknesses. As you, Moti's peers, forge ahead with your lifelong goals, I posit to you that the true measure of success in life is not what you have amassed for yourself, but what you have contributed to others. It is not what gifts and talents you are blessed with, but how you use them to change the world. The partnership we entered into with God at the time of our creation is an everlasting one. It is not only of Adam that God inquired, 'Where are you?' But the question lingers eternally for each and every one of us. It is our daily responsibility to make the choices in life that will allow us to stand proud and tall so that we too can respond as Abraham did, 'Hinani, I am here. I accept the challenge. I will do my share. I will help complete your picture. I will make a difference, just like Moti did. So I leave you with that message. It's up to you to change the world. And I hope that you will. Thank you.
חמים שוכן במרומים המצא מנוחה נכונה על כנפי השכינה במעלות קדושים וטהורים כזוהר הרקיע מאזירים את נשמת מרדכי בן משולם וחיה שהלך לעולמו בעבור שאנו לומדים ומתפללים בעד הזכרת נשמתו בגן עדן תהיה מנוחתו לכן בעל הרחמים יסתירהו בסתר כנפיו לעולמים ויצרור בצרור החיים את נשמתו עד אינו יהיו נחלתו וינוח בשלום על משכבו ונאמר אמן.